You're listening to KUCB, and this is Speak Up on Alaska, the Public Affairs Call-In Program. Again, I am here with Council Members Dennis Robinson and Zach Chastain. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you to everyone who has already submitted questions via email. The first one comes from a teacher and concerns the health insurance offered by the city and the school district to their employees. Since Cigna bought out Great West, some would describe the current coverage as broken. Many people are appealing claims that would have been covered before, without question, before Cigna bought out Great West. What is the city council going to do to make sure that the city and school employees have health insurance policies that are honored by the company and that the employees have confidence that they can rely on those health insurance plans?
You ask, okay, this is Dennis. Yes, we've touched briefly on that. I know our city manager in the human resources department is looking pretty seriously at the problems with this transfer. I do know that Cigna has been out here. I don't know what the outcome of that is, but I do know that they're actively working on it.
Cigna is?
Our administration, our city.
Okay, and does the council have any say, or can the council influence at all the health insurance plans chosen or carriers chosen by the city?
That's a question I think we'll have to follow up as council members. And as a concerned citizen, I will. My number's in the book, and I'll follow up on this one with the city manager to find out where exactly we are on it.
And Councilman Robinson brings up some really good points. The other thing to consider, too, with our current insurance policy through Cigna or Great West or whatever they're calling themselves now, is the fact that we're in a pool. The city of Unalaska is in a pool with the teachers or the school district, and I believe there's one or two other communities that are in the pool also. So if the city and the school pulled out of this pool, it would effectively collapse the entire pool and everybody else would be without insurance. It's a major issue. Like Councilman Robinson said, people from Cigna have come out here and they've met with administration and so on, and that's something that we're going to have to work out and as a council and through the administration is figure out what the best policy to take is going to be.
But I also think it's very important that our teachers and city staff and workers all have good health insurance that covers all their medical needs.
Okay. Another caller wants to know what the city council plans on doing to improve housing opportunities for community members who can't afford to build and also don't work for the city.
Housing has been an issue since King Crab. It rose and it fell. We didn't see the issue rear its head then because we had a number of military buildings that people just boarded up windows and made rooms in. That's been since torn down, but the real, and this is my opinion, and it doesn't seem to sink in with very many people, but the problem we have here is the availability of land. OC does not release any of it, and it's a high cost to develop it for them, and therefore what we're going to have to do is look at being able to allow building on the current property that we do have available that can be developed. And that one number, the first thing we could probably do is reduce the lot size requirements for buildings, and maybe not so much as reducing the size of the house that goes on a lot, but required a two-story instead of a one-story, and you still have the same square footage on a smaller lot. Another thing we could do is not require such a large right-of-way easement into some of the neighborhoods. We don't need real large road easements into small neighborhoods. That alone would probably create another 60 lots up in the valley that are be readily available to build. Now, once we do that, that's going to be, can you imagine, releasing 60 more lots onto the market here? It's going to bring costs down. And the bottom line is the costs will stay where they are today until we have available property to build. Once that happens, once we have the available property, then you will see costs come down. But without doing anything, we're going to continue to have to pay the high prices we do. We don't really have a choice because we are landlocked.
Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I do. I think Councilman Robinson brings up some interesting points there. Housing has been an issue in Alaska as long as Alaska's really been around. And what it boils down to is two real key factors. Like Councilman Robinson touched on, the lack of buildable land. We're a mountainous community. We don't have a lot of really flat land here. And that spans not only for housing, but for a number of other projects that we need to look at in the future. The other issue we have is the lack of land that's available to be developed. And if I believe I'm correct in saying this, the next stage of the Hyatt-Palma study, which is city commission, is going to be to look at the totality of all of the issues facing Alaska and try to develop an appropriate zoning response to that, which is one factor of the second stage of the study. When that comes out, I think we'll have a much better idea of the different options available to us. As for new projects in the future, one thing that is going to be built sometime in the near future, and we just approved grant funding for at the last meeting, was an eightplex, I believe, in the valley, or a six or an eightplex in the valley there where the city trailers are. And, yeah, it's going to be primarily for city employee housing, but the teachers are also going to be moving into that as well, or some of the teachers. So that's another positive thing the city's doing.
But that doesn't really help community members who work for anywhere else.
Right. Well, the question was, though, to my understanding, would you read the question again?
What does the city council plan on doing to improve housing opportunities for community members who can't afford to build and don't work for the city or the school?
I didn't see the school as part of the original question you asked. So the school is an integral part of our community and shouldn't be overlooked. And they're not being overlooked because they are going to be part of this eightplex project.
Okay. Multiple of the questions that we have regard the small boat harbor on Little South America. So the first one is specifically geared at Dennis. Councilmember Robinson, please explain your rationale to fund the PCR expansion project this year at $4 million and yet not support the dock options at the new small boat harbor for almost the same amount of money. The PCR expansion could be completed next year as opposed to this year, but the small boat harbor must stay on its current timeline. Your position at this point is baffling, given the small boat harbor project has been discussed and planned for years, receiving significant community feedback during the past several years, and will provide positive economic stimulus to the community. While the PCR offers tremendous programs for our community and is a department that should be supported, the expansion plan has not been on the table for that amount of time, the same as the small boat harbor has, and certainly wouldn't provide the kind of economic stimulus the small boat harbor will.
My decisions for this community have been unwavering. My first goal is to provide for a community that is family-oriented, and the PCR does do that. Granted that the boat harbor has been in the planning stages for 15 years. The problem with that is we sent out an RFP to the design builders. It's unfair to them, giving them a list of vessels that no longer exist in the fishery. You know, we had, with the rationalization, it took and decimated the fleet that used to call on this port. Now we have another couple of issues that we need to weigh in heavily that will make a difference, and that's Acatan receiving $31.9 million for a boat harbor that the Corps is going to build. And they also received some pretty close to, I believe it is $80 million, for a runway that will more than likely have IFR landing capabilities. That means instrument landing that we cannot have because due to our mountainous terrain. Now, you couple that and you throw in a little bit of geothermal that they're pursuing. They're going to build. And they happen to lie in the Aleutians East District, which only has a 2% sales tax as opposed to our 3% sales tax. Now, it's a six-hour run over there, granted, but you go into a boat harbor that's going to be planned around the vessels that are actually on the water today. You put that over there, and we're going to see the vessels that normally tie up here are going to go in there and then fly out of there, because they know they can get their crew in and out of that airport on an IFR landing with IFR landing capabilities a lot easier than they're going to get into on Alaska. And then what they will do is they'll come in and they'll take the 6-hour run over to Alaska here and use the facilities that we have for rebuilding their boats at the time. But I think it's something that is we need to seriously consider. And one question that hasn't been answered to date, where is the money going to come from to operate this? We budgeted $450,000 loss on the Ports Department for this year. We budgeted a loss. We knew it was not going to make money. We're fortunate in the fact that the APL crane blew down because that in itself has produced a lot of revenue for the city dock. So I don't think we're going to see that. But in years to come, where is that money going to come from to operate this? It's clear that the facility is not going to pay for itself. That was is stated time and time again. But the bottom line is a direct question. Are we going to take it out of the general fund every year? Every year, do we have to pull $2.2 million out of the general fund to operate the ports facility? And is that fair? We're faced with the very real possibility of having to build a $20 million sewer treatment facility. If we lose the court case there, guess what, folks? We're going to be building it. Where's that money going to come from? We've depleted between the powerhouse and this port's project. We have depleted our cash reserves in the general fund. Now, I'm not against the boat harbor. I think it's something that has to happen. But on the flip side of that, I know that I've talked to a number of vessel owners that live in this community. And for 15 years, they've asked about a drive down float. And yet that wasn't in the RFP. It was ignored. It was this facility started out to be a small boat harbor, and then it grew into a large boat harbor for the larger vessels. And somewhere along the line, got dropped. They dropped out the drive down float, which I've talked to community members that says that has always been a question. Will there be a drive down float? Now I know the importance of it. I want to see it, but I also want to see where are we going to get the money. We need to do it. Don't get me wrong, but we also need to be cognizant of the fact that we're depleting our general fund monies and with a lot of serious issues on the floor, on the table.
Okay, so that leads to a couple follow-up questions. First off, you're saying that the boat harbor is being planned and designed for a fleet that no longer exists. You've been on city council for a year and a half now, which is before the RFPs went out. Plus, they have been discussing this harbor for 15 years. Rationalization affected the fleet. You know what, 3-4 years ago, depleting the fleet size? Why didn't you speak up sooner if you think this is such a serious issue?
Early on, I mean, I think we had this, when I first got back on the council met over at the library, and we talked about some things. We had, some people coming in to moderate this, McDowell Group. Anyway. And then, we all said, yeah, we need to all move forward and not drop any of these bombs on people. But then I asked the questions at city council meeting, and I don't get an answer. I don't get an answer not only that, but and then if I ask a question that it seems to be a little bit, somebody's in disagreement with, all you need to have a majority of the council vote on it is a directive of management. Well, I'm not getting my answer, answer to my questions. So I'm going to do the next best thing I can do is do it legislatively.
You brought this issue up at the last meeting, and the effect of your amendment to the budget was making it so that there is no drive-down dock currently budgeted for, despite the fact that you just said you've known for years that people want it in this community. And you didn't change the plan of the small boat harbor months ago, or even comment that you thought that it was for a different fleet months ago, when there could have been a change, and that could have been a viable discussion. But you made those comments at the last minute. Why?
I disagree with that. I have brought up the question in council meetings of why are we put an RFP out with vessels that no longer exist in the fleet. That question has never been answered for me. I have asked that question on at least two other occasions in two other meetings. Now, I disagree with the caller on that. I have asked the question. I have not received an answer.
Why, when we're at the point where your change, the only change it made was deciding to not have a drive-down float and not have the extended sea flow. Why did you decide to fund it in this way?
Fund what?
To not extend.
All I said was, okay, now let's roll back here. Let's go with the base bid. That will get our boat harbor built. And then let's look for funding for the drive down. Let's look for some alternate funding for that.
Okay.
And besides, a 55x50 float that will only allow a pickup, I don't think our fleet wants. They say it's too small, the folks that I've talked to. They need something that's a little bit larger that'll get a flatbed on and possibly some pot trucks. But a 50x50 float is far too small to accommodate what needs to happen on a drive-down float.